Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So welcome to St Margaret's for our service of Holy Communion. Today is the fifth Sunday of Trinity. We'll take a moment of quiet just to prepare ourselves for worship and then we'll sing. Amen. So let's stand. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 593, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We meet this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect Prayer for the fifth Sunday of Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name. Through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In a moment, we'll have our readings, but before, let's just pray. Faithful God, let your word be the treasure of our hearts, so that we may delight in your truth and have open ears to hear the music of your voice above the chaos of this world. We ask this so that we might truly see the vision of your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 15. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing again. We'll sing hymn number one, and we'll sing this through twice. Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We start at verse 16. Jesus said this, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.' Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done because they did not repent. 'Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on the day of judgment it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, Heavenly Father, may the words I speak be those you want spoken, and may the words we hear be those you want heard, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit. Excuse me. I was thinking about what Paul wrote to that church in Rome, and it got me to thinking. I wondered, how many of us have started a new day with the best of intentions, only to find, yet again, that we snap at strangers in our path, grumble about a colleague, shout at the kids, or, well, you guess what I mean. Those ingrained habits and repeated sins we wish we could kick seem to delight in tripping us up, however hard we pray or try to change. It doesn't help much because there's always plenty to do. So much to do. No doubt we would have all done many things this last week, this last month, last year. Lifetimes full of just doing things, doing stuff, both good and bad. With all this doing, perhaps there are things we should have done, but haven't yet got to them. Or trying to forget and hoping that they'll just go away. Maybe we're not capable of doing what we want to do. Not capable because we're too young, too old, not confident enough, too ill. The way life is now, these days, they seem to be more and more rushed. The more we do, the more we have left to do. Life just seems to be a trail of never-ending busyness. And I often imagine that when God looks on us, we must appear a bit like an ant's nest that's just been disturbed, all scurrying to and fro. And we have to ask ourselves, with all this business, where does it end? Are we so concerned with what we think is urgent that we're letting go of what is really important? And because we're so overactive, do we then treat God with frustration and contempt, treating him as just another task to fit into our busy schedules? We know we should be setting aside some time for prayer. We know we should be sitting down to read our Bible. But somehow, well, you know how it is. Perhaps we blame God or others for what we think we have to do. Even our leisure time, our rest and recreation times have all become so busy. So busy, they no longer seem to be effective. The more we do, the more we have left to do. We work for more leisure, rest, and recreation, And once we get to these days, they're gone. They fizz into thin air. So what does all our doing actually do? Where does all this busyness lead to? Does all this doing deceive us? Or does it deliver us from deception? Do the things we do bring glory to God? Or are we just working and entertaining ourselves to death? Being so busy doing what we deem necessary, do we ever consider what all this might be doing to others around us? Then there are the things we keep hidden, the things we do that make us ashamed before others and definitely before God. Even the best, most wholesome and righteous things we do are often tainted by our own self-interest. So, St. Paul, a convert from Judaism to Christianity, the apostle to the Gentiles, called by Christ on the road to Damascus, testifies powerfully to his struggle with what he does as he looks at his ego and the things that come out of it. Chapter 7 in his letter to the Romans that Jean read to us expresses, I think, rather scarily, but with unerring accuracy, our own double-mindedness towards sin and righteousness. Just think quickly again what Paul said. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. So if that was Paul, what about us? If we're honest with ourselves, when we look seriously at what we do, we know that we too are wretched, just like St. Paul. We can hear Paul's frustration as he rants about his inability to do the right thing, even though he knows exactly what he should be doing. In fact, it's human nature, isn't it, to beat ourselves up when we fail in doing the right thing. We might even think that we have to verbally churn out our disgust as a way of trying to work off our guilt due to what we do or what we perhaps should have done. But the end result is that we can't work off our guilt, no matter how much we beat ourselves up. It will only remain within us and make us implode. Society today seems to be hell-bent on doing all sorts of things to appease its conscience. Some deeds are good, others definitely not so good. But at the end of the day, nothing removes the darkness from a conscience busied by the sinful nature. We can and should seek to do humane and kind things to each other and to the creation God has given us. But even so, doing them won't necessarily give us peace, hope, and joy that last. It's at this point that we realise that it's not about being the doers and shakers of the world, the wise and the learned, or the strong and the healthy. We've learnt of our wretchedness through God's word, and in our weakness, we need to be delivered from our bodies of death. So it's only right then that we should pay even more attention to our gospel reading this morning, where we heard how Jesus commends the simplicity of little children over the supposed sophistication of us adults. The good thing for us who are burdened with doing, having to do, and not doing what we should have done is that Jesus has done it for us. Like Paul, when we get to the frustrating realization that our plight is just as wretched, there stands Jesus offering us the same gracious hand he revealed to those little children. And the reality, I think, for us who live in today's world is this. Regardless of how much we do or how little we do, None of it has any real meaning unless the burden of doing it is placed on Christ. And we carry his yoke, resting and remaining in him, and hearing and believing his written word. The difficult reality is that in this life we will always be pulled in two directions. But our ultimate destiny is for the two conflicting natures of flesh and spirit within us to be wholly aligned with our new life in Jesus Christ. The recreation and the rest the world leads us to believe in doesn't give us satisfactory rest at all. We're tempted to work so hard gathering objects of entertainment around us. And once we do, they don't give rest, but rather just more noise and restlessness. However, the recreation and rest we and all humanity actually need is actually that very thing, recreation. Recreation and Sabbath rest in Jesus and his forgiveness of sin. Paul knew the answer to this when he said, "Who will rescue us from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord." So you can see that it's all too easy to miss the good news of the kingdom. Not because it's missing, but because we're too busy carping and complaining to see it. It's a natural human instinct to assume that the more true something is, the more complicated it must be. And then, if it doesn't appear complicated enough, we dive in to make absolutely sure it definitely becomes complicated enough. Jesus' wisdom, however, isn't complicated. We learn by being yoked to him, just as an ox is yoked to a plough team. Back in the 14th century, the anchorite Julian of Norwich knew this really well when she wrote these words. "God of your goodness, give me yourself. If I ask for anything less, I shall always be in want. Only in you do I have all." This is the sure and certain promise of the kingdom that is not fully yet, but still to come completely. And on the way, the kingdom with us now can be, no, truly is, just as Jesus said it was, an easy yoke and a light burden. Because isn't this really what we pray for all the time when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may often be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears and not the one who speaks, our prayers do make a difference. So therefore let us boldly approach our Heavenly Father with our prayers of intercession. And today we're going to base our prayers on the prayer we know as the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray for our own needs and pray for the needs of others as we follow the pattern which Jesus himself gave us when he taught us to pray to God, who is our Father in heaven. Through our care of the environment, through our love of the countryside, through our care for all animals, through our respect for property, Father, we pray, hallowed be your name. In our homes, in our schools and colleges, in our shops, factories and offices, on our farms, in the places where policy is planned, Father, we pray, your kingdom come. By our seeking your guidance, by our keeping your commandments, by our living true to our consciences, Father, we pray, your will be done. For the millions who live in hunger, for our own needs, for the needs of our neighbours, by cooperation, sympathy and generosity. Father, we pray, give us today our daily bread. Because we have broken your commandments, because we have done what we ought not to have done, because we have neglected what we ought to have done, Father, we pray, forgive us our sins. If any have injured us by injustice, if any have injured us by exploitation, if any have injured us with violence, if any have injured us with untruths, Father, we pray, help us forgive those who sin against us. When prosperity lulls us to false security, when hard times prompt us to despair, when success makes us boastful, when failure makes us bitter, Father, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the certainty of faith, in the confidence of hope, in the desire and will to serve, help us to love Christ as our Lord and to love our neighbour as ourselves. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand? Before God and each other, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, only begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. I give my peace to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing. Let's sing our third hymn, which is hymn 215, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please sit or kneel. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. We say together the familiar words that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. Christ, a gift from heaven. Grant, O Lord, we beseech you, that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance, that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so for our final hymn, hymn 77, we stand to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Thank you.
So we go to our homes with this blessing. Go out to love, assured of God's love for you. Go out to serve, assured of God's serving alongside you. Go out to bless, assured of God's blessing on you. And as we do this in the middle of our Christian journey, may our hope be longer than the journey, our faith deeper than all darkness, and our love bolder than every lie. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, those whom you love, and those for whom you pray, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.